Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Who Inspire. My guest today is Amy Klein, who is the CEO of Capital Roots. Hi, Amy. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay, chugging along.
So tell us a little bit about Capital Roots and how it's dealing with the crisis we're in right now.
Well, Capital Roots is an organization that for 45 years has been working to make fresh, healthy food accessible and affordable to residents in the Capital Region. And we do that in the four counties that we work in. And, you know, we provide a unique role in the food system in terms of filling a gap, really, for low-income and urban dwellers primarily who struggle with getting to supermarkets and, you know, the affordability of traditional markets. And so we have a variety of programs that address that, our two mobile markets, the Veggie Mobiles, our Healthy Stores program that works with small corner markets where we stock fresh produce. And we have a market at our facility in Troy, and a number of other measures, you know, to bring fresh produce into the neighborhood so people can buy them at about half the cost of what they could in a supermarket. And during this crisis, these services have become even more important because our typical urban consumer is struggling even more with the issues of transportation. You know, a large percentage of people who live in urban spaces don't have cars and rely on buses, car shares, Uber, taxi. And those are now, you know, areas or places where people are frightened. They're frightened to go on the bus. They're frightened to, you know, get into a cab or an Uber. And so the idea of, you know, staying in your community and being able to access your food is even more important, and also in a trusted place. And so that's really what we've been doing, is, you know, doubling down on those services and making sure that people can access fresh food in an affordable way and in a safe way. And so all of our programs have retooled to make sure that health safety and food safety are our top priority for our consumers.
So do you think that food, you know, over the long run is going to be an issue that's going to be, people are going to be in need of greater, people will need, you know, food from organizations like yours more and more as this crisis evolves?
Well, you know, food is a basic need. You know, food, shelter, clothing, and, you know, unfortunately this crisis is also bringing out a need for, you know, mental health services for more and more people. So these basic needs are critically important, and there's no doubt that the basic need of food is, you know, going to continue to be a more important focus across the board. I think, you know, the role that our organization plays is, you know, that it's not focused on emergency feeding necessarily. We do have one program that feeds into the emergency feeding system with fresh produce, but most of our work is really centered around the idea of providing a retail outlet for low-income consumers who are in urban areas and, you know, need access to the retail environment and want to be able to access healthy food. And that's the service that we provide. And it's needed now more than ever because, you know, this health crisis is all about staying as healthy as you possibly can. And, you know, eating well is a big piece of that.
So when did you realize that this was going to be a really severe crisis and health and economic issue? When did you first realize that this was going to happen?
Well, on March 13th, Friday the 13th, we did a major organizational pivot. We sort of took a one-second pause, I would say, because we didn't pause, and we immediately gathered as staff and figured out how we could continue providing our food services and make it so that people could remain safe and food safety, you know, would be a top priority, but that we could, you know, keep our staff safe, keep our constituents safe, and keep providing these services. And so we immediately did a pivot that day and began, you know, reorganizing how we were providing our services so that we could continue to be out there on the road with our mobile markets, you know, doing our Healthy Stores runs, providing service at our market here, working with our community gardeners so they could grow their own food, but doing it in a way that would ensure everybody's safety. And I think, you know, the speed at which we were able to do that pivot and the degree with which we were able to do that pivot has made a huge difference. And, you know, we continue to modify that literally each day, sometimes by the hour, and we continue to. But that, you know, that really all started on March 13th, and, you know, it's been 5 weeks later, and we're still, you know, up and running full blast, and our service increased demands has been dramatic.
When you say increased demands, what are people most in need of?
Just access to food, access to fresh food. And, you know, as I said, we fill a unique void in terms of people, you know, who can't get to supermarkets, who can't get to other retail spaces, who, you know, whether it's people using their food stamps or other benefit programs, people who want to eat healthy food. And so, you know, people are looking to us in increasing numbers to come and use our mobile markets, the veggie mobiles, to, you know, be able to access fresh food at a low cost in their communities. And so, you know, each week we've seen an increase of about 50% per week since this crisis started.
I live in Albany, and I go to the farmers market on Wednesday. I did go to the farmers markets when it was outside last year. And people would be out on the lunch hour, and they would buy stuff, and it was really a nice thing. Do you think that the farmers who worked in farmers markets, who went to the farmers markets, are they going to be hurt financially because maybe they might not be able to go, right?
Yeah, so, you know, farmers are another part of the constituency we work with. We buy more than 50% of our produce from local farms, and that's on a year-round basis. During the growing season, that number increases to 80, 85%, sometimes 90%. We're very concerned about, you know, our farmers and our local farm producers or they are definitely, they're already struggling. This is prime time for them. And without those farmers markets, without the restaurants to sell to, without the institutions to sell to, this is, you know, this is a dramatic issue for our local producers. And so, you know, we're one of the organizations that is working to try to assist. But, you know, some farmers markets are going to open. I know the Troy Farmers Market is looking to do an opening in a different format. I know Del Mar is opening. I'm sure that many of the farmers markets are looking to pivot and do some different kind of opening. But it, you know, it's definitely a very important issue to be able to support our local farmers and local food producers. Let's not forget about them.
The thing of it is, it just took everybody by such a surprise. One day we were living one way, and a couple of days later, our entire world was turned upside down. You know, I've been doing some reading on the 1918 pandemic, And, you know, everybody knew about World War One, but a lot of people didn't even know about the pandemic of 1918. I just hope that there will be enough documentation that, God forbid, this should happen again, people would be prepared. What do you think?
I mean, I definitely think, you know, this will go down in the history books, but I also think that, you know, I do think there could have been more preparedness happening. But I also think, you know, sometimes you have to live through something to really be able to understand how to respond to it. And, you know, I think some sectors are responding well or are really figuring out how to, you know, respond to the crisis, and others are still working on it. So, you know, I feel like our region, many of the social service agencies are doing a really fantastic job, you know, responding to this crisis, and hopefully they will continue to.
I think it's going to put a lot of strain on local governments. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think local governments are already under stress. Their workforce has, you know, been diminished. That's something that a lot of entities are dealing with, but government services need to continue. I know, you know, we work with a lot of the municipalities and, you know, their Department of Sanitation, for example, their, you know, their workforce is diminished, and yet, you know, trash still needs to be picked up. People are still looking to have their yard waste picked up. You know, people are working around their houses more. They're, you know, so they're cleaning up inside their house or outside their house, and they're looking for this cleanup, but not realizing that there aren't the services to back that up because the workforce is diminished. So, you know, city services are definitely being stressed and strained, and at the same time, their tax base has been diminished. So it's definitely, you know, having a ripple effect all across the board.
So it's pretty frightening, I think. So I'm sorry, Amy. I think I could have been a little bit better prepared for my conversation with you. So how long has Capital Roots been in existence?
Well, we're a 45-year-old nonprofit organization. We started out as a community gardening organization, and that's still a big piece of what we do. We operate 55 community gardens around the four counties that we work in, and those community gardens are really important right now, too, because they're places where people can, you know, work on building self-sufficiency to grow their own food, but they're also important spaces for people to go and, you know, deal with the stress and the strain that this crisis is putting on everyone. And so they're great mental health relievers. And so our community gardening program is also one of those important programs that we are working and making sure that people have access to, and thousands of people are able to grow their own food in our community gardens. And we still have plots available for people who are interested in doing that. And we provide all the resources that people need to be successful in their food growing. So even if somebody's is brand new to the idea of food growing, you know, they can give it a go and be successful with assistance.
So you think that'll be, you think a lot more people will take advantage of their own little plots this year?
Absolutely, and we're seeing that. That's actually a trend that's happening around the country is, you know, people are growing and gardening more. You know, if they're fortunate enough to have a space in their yard, they're doing that. But, you know, the whole concept of community gardens is for people who don't have that benefit, that, you know, they don't own a home, they don't have space to grow in their own property. And so community gardens are the answer for people who live in urban areas who don't have, you know, their own property and can, you know, enjoy that benefit. And I think now more than ever, a positive and productive activity such as growing your own food and growing in a community garden space could be really just the ticket that people need.
So do you see an uptick in urban gardening at this point?
Yes, absolutely.
people who have balconies and porches, you see them growing like lettuce and tomatoes and stuff.
Well, it's a little early for, you know, tomato crops and things like that. But, I mean, just anecdotally, I've definitely seen more people getting involved with gardening. You know, I think people are struggling with the boredom also of and the confinement of, you know, being self-quarantined. And so they are doing things like that. And, you know, we're hearing that from some of the garden centers and so forth. So I think that that is one of the positive outcomes that is coming out of this situation. And you know, we all need to look at some of these positives. There are wonderful things that are happening, you know, neighbors helping neighbors and people supporting one another in different ways. So, you know, as terrible as it is, what is happening, you know, to communities and to individual families and to our country as a whole, there are little shining, you know, bright spots, and hopefully we can keep focused on those.
With so many people out of work and government, you know, government is stretched to the limit, and maybe they will not be able to provide for everybody that needs, like, food stamps. Do you see hunger as a severe problem over the next couple of months or maybe a year or so?
You know, it's hard to tell what's going to happen in a year. You know, right now, hunger relief organizations are, you know, really coordinated, and there are a lot of efforts going on. And also, you know, unemployment right now, you know, while there are staggering numbers of people who are unemployed, the extra benefits that have been put out by both the federal and the state government have, you know, made it so that those who are on unemployment, you know, in some cases are earning more money than they did when they worked. So it's you know, for right now, I don't think that is, you know, at least temporarily going to be as big of an issue. The question will be long term, what happens? You know, how quickly will the economy bounce back? How quickly will, you know, people be able to get back to work? And you know, obviously there's so many unknowns, and I certainly can't answer those questions.
That's true. Nobody really can. We have to take it day by day as it unfolds. So tell us a little bit about the veggie machine and I'm sorry, veggie mobile and how that works.
So the Vegemobile, we created that 12 years ago, and it's a mobile produce market. Under normal circumstances, people walk on board and shop the produce aisle. It's a fun, engaging experience. We play fun music, and we have everything that you could find in the produce aisle of a supermarket. And the prices are about half the cost of what you could buy it for in a supermarket. We make 36 stops a week around the region, and the schedule is set so you know each week that we'll be at the same locations, and you can count on that. And we take all the benefit programs as well as cash, and anybody can use the Vegemobile. What we've done to modify our service is, you know, we're still going to all those locations. It's still fun. We still play fun music, but people are not allowed on board the Vegemobile right now for food safety reasons and also social distancing. So, you know, we have staff who are taking orders and somebody else who's, you know, packing the order to keep, again, a distance and food safety. We're also taking orders over the phone, and so we can prepack those orders and people have less exposure, you know, if they want to just, you know, pop out of their residence and be able to pick up their order. We go to places like senior centers and low-income housing, senior housing. Those are the types of locations that we visit at those 36 locations. So they're, you know, densely populated, lower income places where people have needs in terms of both their transportation and their finances. And the food, I will say, is top quality. Again, we get a large percentage we purchase from local farms.
So if people want to know what the route is, where could they find out?
So that's on our website. We have a lot of information on our website, which is capitalroots.org. We have the schedule for the Veggiemobile. We have all of our garden sites on there, and you can see what gardens are still available, still have space available. We have our healthy stores listed there, so these are small convenience stores that we partner up with. So you can see those sites on there, as well as the listing of products that are available at our market in Troy at 594 River Street, and you can call ahead, place an order, and come pick it up, or you can just come to the market and we'll serve you through a window. Again, we're practicing social distancing and, you know, food and health safety.
Now, have you been for given any food to schools? Because, you know, the schools are not open, but kids might need food from the schools. So are you providing food to schools so that kids could, you know, be well nourished?
So we have one of our programs is called Farm to School, and we normally work with almost 30 different school districts in the region to provide farm fresh produce through school lunches. Several of the schools that we work with are still engaged with us, getting local product and including them in the bagged lunches that they're providing for individuals or for families and children to pick up. And that's, you know, primarily apples, because most of the lunches are cold. And so it's, you know, the other types of product that we normally provide to schools are, you know, for cooking purposes. And so it's mostly the apples right now that are going into those bag lunches.
Mm-hmm.
But
so
still a good added nutrition.
So would you say, even today, even though we're like 2 months into the crisis, the people in the Capital District are pretty well fed? Would you say that's true?
I think, you know, the unified work that's being done, you know, by all the different organizations, I feel like there's a lot of good stuff going on. And I think, you know, the nonprofit community has really rallied and continues to. I mean, many organizations are, you know, meeting on the phone, you know, daily, weekly to coordinate efforts. And I think that's the most important thing. And so I do feel like there are a lot of efforts in place to make sure that for right now that people are well taken care of on the food front.
So you take donations.
Absolutely. Yep. And that's really what keeps us going.
Okay. So if somebody wants to either utilize the services that you provide or wants to make a contribution to your organization, how could they contact you?
They can, you know, go to our website, capitalroots.org, learn more information, make a donation, find out about services. They can certainly call us at 518-274-8685. That's 518-274-8685. And anyone who answers the phone would be glad to help them. But if you're able to get to, you know, a computer, our website is really a wealth of information for all of those uses.
So as this crisis evolves, Amy, would you be interested in coming back on Women Who Inspire to talk about, you know, what the needs of the community are and how you're servicing the community? Okay.
Absolutely. Okay. Be happy to talk again.
Thank you. So in the closing moments, Amy, let me hear your thoughts about this whole pandemic and how it's affecting society.
I think the one of the big concerns, you know, in addition to everyone, you know, to businesses and farms, you know, and you know, our small business environment and how they're going to be able to recover, our restaurants, you know, mental health is certainly a big issue. And whether it's for people who are homebound, whether they're young or old, or for people like our staff who are on the front line and working, going to work every day and exposing themselves, or, you know, our healthcare workers or our supermarket workers, there's a lot of stress and anxiety, and that's across the board. And so that's very concerning. And I know that there's going to be an uptick in need for dealing with that. And I'm sure that our providers will, you know, be responsive to those needs. But it's also heartening to see how people are coming together and supporting one another, making masks and, you know, finding out who needs what. And so there is a lot of good out in the community, and it's great to see people coming together.
Yeah, that's really a good thing, that you see people's mindset have been changing. So, Amy, thank you for being on Women Who Inspire, and I look forward to talking with you again. So if you like this show, like Women Who Inspire on Facebook and on Twitter, Women Inspire 21. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks, Amy.
Thank you.